Hey, everybody. Peter is headed to get his stitches out from his second gum graft, which is pretty fucking exciting, because I think that means it's over. I don't know if I'm going to have to go back in again for them to look at it. I kind of doubt it. I do have to then go to the dentist soon, and I think I've used all of my benefits, so hopefully there's nothing that the dentist actually needs to do now, because I'd be real fucked on that one. You know, because it's, it's almost April. But I mean, I basically used up my benefits in, like, February of this year. So that's cool. Dental insurance is pretty cool, huh? I like how dental insurance is sort of like... So health insurance, you know, depending on the kind you have, my understanding is you've got your copay. So that's what you just pay when you go in, just because it's like, I don't know, fuck you, you got to pay something. And then you've got your deductible, right? Your yearly deductible. So like, let's say mine's $5,000, I think. So if I get fucked up and I have to do something and I pay $5,000 for health shit over the course of the year... At that point, the insurance takes over and is just like, well, you know, the rest is on us. But dental insurance is like the opposite. Dental insurance is like, well, I think we've paid more than our fair share at this point, so whatever, like, we should do that. Which is fucked up, because if you look at insurance, it's like your company pays the insurance company a bunch of money, right? Like each month, and then plus you pay into it. So it's not just a matter of, like, we all think, you know, barring anything crazy, if you put the $150 or whatever a month away into a savings account that was like, hey, just force me to have a savings account that I can only use for health things, and we'll call it a day, that would be one option, right? It's even worse than that, really, because the company's also paying the insurance company on top of what you put in. So it's like, insurance companies must make a lot of fucking money. Is all, you know, I know that's a big revelation to everyone, but it's just like, Jesus Christ, man, like, how much money do you have to make? And how come I can't get a fucking filling if I need to? You know what I mean? Like, what is it worth to you? I don't get it. I don't understand it, and it's crazy. But such is life. So anyway, I'm going to go get these stitches out, which the last time I did it, I remembered being more painful than I thought it would be, but tolerable because it was the end, you know. And I got to say, this second one was way worse. The second gum graft was way worse, way more painful. I think part of it was the flying. Like, I think being in the pressurized cabin gave me fucking crazy headaches. It just made the wounds hurt a lot. Because one of the more painful days was I flew out to a workshop on, like, a Sunday. And that night, it was just, like, throbbing. And it had already been, like, a week or a week and a half or something. And I was managing just fine. But that night, I was just like, whoa, this hurts way more than it has the past couple days. And so I don't know. I think that, like, flying might be worse for us health-wise than we know. I think, like, the fumes and shit, like, you don't really realize, but then when you fly a lot, you're like, I'm inhaling, like, a lot of jet fuel, it seems like, as we fly around, and the pressure and the whatever. Everyone was like, oh, don't get a cold, don't get a cold. Somehow... I don't even need to knock on wood because it's over. I made it the entire 3 months without getting sick, which isn't something that I can usually do. Like, usually I've had my late winter cold by now that put me down for 3 or 4 days, and I entirely skipped it this year. All I can think is that I've been sleeping more. I've been drinking a lot less coffee. I've been drinking one cup a day, and maybe reducing to none cups a day in hopes that that will solve my bowel issues, which continue. But, you know, I didn't think that was the issue because I stopped drinking coffee for like a week or two. And at one point, it was, I think I was sick. And so I didn't drink any for like a week. And the issue persisted. And so I was like, well, that's probably not it. But then I was like, well, you've been drinking like a ton of coffee for a really long time. Like 3 or 4 years that you've been drinking quite a bit of coffee, maybe even longer. So I was like, maybe you need to like give it a little more time of not doing it. Like let things reset. So anyway, I'm pushing towards that, even though I really don't want to. And the way that I'm sort of talking myself into it is I keep telling myself, you know, maybe what'll work is like if you stop drinking so much coffee. It's raining, by the way, so everything's loud in my car. If you stop drinking so much coffee, then you'll be able to go back to drinking it at a normal human level once you've recovered, which is entirely possible, I suppose. I mean, I would think that, like, if you were an alcoholic and you stopped drinking, that, you know, in theory, well, that's not a good example, because that's, like, just an addictive thing, and you've probably done, I don't think you can undo the damage. But I don't know. They say, okay, like, if you stop smoking, within, like, 30 days or something, your lungs make a lot of recovery. So I'm like, I guess if I gave up coffee for, like, a month and my bowel issues continued unimproved, then I would be like, okay, well, it's not that. But until I did that, I guess I couldn't say for sure. So anyway, that's something. But I don't know why I started talking about my butthole. It's my face hole. It's the two ends of my digestive tract that have really, really been my Achilles heel. I have an Achilles face and an Achilles butthole. Those have been my problem areas, if you will. I saw a thing today that was kind of funny because it was like, it was from the gun protests, you know, and someone was showing, there was a guy who was open carrying at a gun protest, and this young lady is standing next to him, and it's some sign that's like, I see your gun there, sorry, your penis is so small or something. And I've seen this person's poster repeated and whatever. And I think that, like, I want to make the case for, I think the small penis argument is a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea for a few reasons. Number one, like, we all talk about, you know, any guy who's got a sports car or, like, a big-ass truck or a loud motorcycle or a gun is compensating for a small penis, right? But that's probably not true. I mean, statistically, it's certainly not true. I'm sure there's many a dude who has a really fucking annoying loud truck that also has a big hog. And so, when you make the small penis argument, I mean, if you don't have a small penis, and in fact, if you have a fairly large penis, the being slammed for having a small penis is, like, not effective. It's kind of like, I think, if someone slams me for being, I don't know, I'm trying to think of what I am unequivocally. It doesn't really hurt if someone was making fun of me for being short. Because I'm not tall, but I'm not short. Like, I'm very average. You know, maybe even a little on the short end of average. But, like, it just doesn't, like... Or, okay... If somebody makes fun of me and is calling me fat, like, I know I'm not fat. I'm just not fat. Like, that's just the fact of the matter is I'm not fat. And so if someone's like, you are a fat guy, you know, sorry that you're such a fat guy, it just doesn't really do anything to me personally because I think that person, I'm just like, well, they're factually incorrect. Their argument about me being a fat guy or their point about me being a fat guy is not correct. So I think that, like, the small penis thing breaks down in that way. That's one of the problems with it. I think one of the other problems with it, though, is, like, Well, okay. One of the other big problems with it is that when you make... It's the exact same problem as, like, making someone fun of someone for being fat, right? Which is, like, maybe I'm making fun of Donald Trump for being a fat ass. But if I call him a fat ass, what I gotta recognize is, like, anybody who looks in his shape or worse, I'm also saying that about them in a way, right? Like, that's why we don't use these harmful terms anymore, is because we can't sort of limit their impact to just the person we want to talk badly about. It's everyone feels it, right? So that's why we can't do that. But so what I'm saying is I'm certain that there are plenty of very nice dudes who don't have a thing about guns out there, who don't have a thing about, like, big trucks and whatever, who are just, like, normal, nice guys who have tiny penises. I'm 100% sure that that's true. And so it's sort of like you're equating this other person who's doing something bad by choice, by the way, like making a poor choice, and saying they have a small penis, and equating small penisness with badness. You know, that's obviously bad. And I think that's problematic, right? Like, isn't that, that's the whole reason that I don't call someone retarded anymore, right? Is because, well, I'm saying it about this other person to hurt them, but the problem is the many other people who are hurt by that and who don't deserve it, who are, like, you know, they don't have control over that. They don't have any agency in this situation. It's basically me just using a term to hurt someone, but it's hurting these other people instead. So I guess here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying, like, don't say it. It's impossible to say it. But what I'm saying is, if you're a believer in that argument, if you're a believer that we shouldn't say certain words because they hurt other people, other than the intent to target, then you can't really make the small penis gun argument either. Like, that doesn't really work. And the last thing I'll say about it is, like, I mean, I see a lot of pictures, like, Instagram-y and Pinterest-y stuff, and it's like, I'll call them chicks with guns, you know, G.I. Joe Barbie type pictures, or, like, chicks who hunt. And I use that term chicks because I think that's the kind of terms that they would use, you know, like babes in the woods and stuff like that. And it's like some chick who shot, like, a deer and whatever. So, I mean, I think that, like, guns have, I don't think guns are a guy issue as much as some other things are a guy issue. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they are. I could be wrong. If this was, like, a show that talked about things responsibly, I'd, like, look up the statistics or something. But this is not, so I will not be doing that. But I just, you know, I think that there's a perception issue there, because it's, like, I think many pro-gun people are women. There are many pro-gun women out there, and I think that guns are not the exclusive realm of dudes anymore. So then equating it with penis size, or, like, you know, evaluating penis size or something. I mean, what is that? If I'm a female gun fan, what does that say to me at all? Like, do I care? I would think I do have a pretty small penis. So small, I've never even noticed it. But whatever. That's my second, like, pro-gun sounding rant, and it's not. It's anti small penis rant. Small penis as a sort of slam because of something else. Like, here's the thing. If someone's got a loud, obnoxious car, just be like, that guy is an asshole. Like, I'm sorry, but that guy is being an asshole. And it's like, he's being Pete's asshole, which is he's not cooperating and he's sloppy and he smells terrible. And he's probably hairy and gross. You know, if you want to use that, if you're like, well, I don't want to hurt everybody, I don't want to hurt anyone else, just say, what a Pete's asshole. I'm fine with that. I'm giving you full permission to do that. Anyway. That was just a thing I saw. This is kind of how this show works. I don't know if you know that. I see a thing, and then I talk about that thing, and say some stuff about that thing, and then something else comes up into my brain, and I just start talking about that thing. And we just keep rocking. It's snowing, by the way. It's like almost April, and it's snowing pretty hard at the moment. I don't think this will go anywhere, but... And by go anywhere, I mean give me a day off work. I think that this is a big thing for me in snow, like why I like snow, and other people do not seem to like snow, but I'm always like, snow comes with the possibility, however slight, that there will be no work today. That's pretty exciting. Sun does not come with that, to my knowledge. I've never worked somewhere where they're like, it's too nice out today, so we're going to cancel work. That would be awesome if they did it. I mean, I'd be down for that, but to my knowledge, that's not a thing. So, you know. I wave to a guy because he let me in. I'm on the interstate now going 15 miles an hour. Because it's snowing, you guys. What are we going to do? People are so dumb. I bet there's a wreck or something up ahead. Everyone's got to look at it. I just don't know why. I don't know why. What's wrong with everybody? How this happens. To make a decision about exiting earlier and going a different route, which might have some merit to it. But now things are speeding up. This is the trouble with driving, huh? You start going, and then you're just like, shit, man. So I've been back at home for like a whole day. Everyone's like, how does it feel to not... Are you like bored, like you have nothing to do? And that's always a thing I've never understood. I mean, I've understood that people feel that way, but I've never felt that way myself. Maybe when I was like a kid. I mean, because when you're a kid, you can't do anything. But, like, as an adult, I'm kind of like, I could sort of do whatever I want. I mean, I can't do whatever I want. I can't just go to Paris for 2 weeks. But, like, if I wanted to go buy a bunch of Oreos and eat that for dinner, or if I wanted to go to the movies, you know, on a fucking weeknight, I can do that. Or, like, I can rent a movie whenever I want to. Or, like, I could play video games for 6 hours. Or... read comic books all day, or like podcast, or work on... There's just like 1,000 things. I guess I don't know. It seems like there are just people out there who are not like super interested in a lot of things. And that's not something that I identify with very well. I did a Poonmaster Flex a little bit ago, was talking about how, you know, after Dibwe died, she was kind of adrift because she was like... She didn't know what to do with herself a little bit, and it was because she's living out in Portland. I'm not there, the cat's not there, and she's like, you know, before I always had a reason to go home, like, at 5 o'clock. Like, work ends, and I'm like, I want to go home and see the cat and see Peter, and, like, you know, the cat wants to see... The cat is waiting for me to come home, and that's exciting, and so I want to do that. And then without that and without me there, it's like, what's the point of going home? And I was like, oh, that's very crushing. And also, I completely get what you're saying. So I don't know. No, I don't. And also, I'm working 10-hour days this week. But I don't feel, like, overwhelmed with, you know, a newfound sense of freedom. A new brave heart feeling, you know. It's just like, seems kind of the same to me for right now. I mean, I think it takes a while. It's like trying to heal your butthole by not drinking coffee. You gotta give it... If you're taking an honest and searching inventory of yourself, you have to be... you gotta give it some time before things are normal again. So there you go. That's the truth, yo. Man, I was totally gonna be on time for this appointment, and now I'm not so sure. And now I'm not so sure they try to tell me that it's special. But I guess I don't care. It's kind of weird, like, these dentists and doctors. I mean, they schedule everything so tight. And I get it. Like, they're trying to see as many people as they can. But I don't know. When you pay them, like... I mean, I've put $1,400 out of my pocket into the wallet. Or into the place. Not just the insurance and whatever. And it's sort of like... when you're paying like a huge price tag like that, it just seems like they should be a little more patient with you as a patient. I never even thought about that before, but it's like, who does a doctor see? A patient. Why do they call it that? Because they make you fucking sit around all day. It's like, yeah, I gotta bring a book, because I know, even if I'm on time, and they're always like, be 15 minutes early to your doctor appointments here, you know? And I'm like, fuck that. Like, what am I gonna do? Just sit there for 15 minutes? Like, why? What purpose does that serve? Just so then, I mean, I know what it serves for them, but I'm like, I gotta be honest, there is not a lot in it for me to be here 15 minutes early today. I mean, holy Christ. That's really early, isn't it? Doesn't that seem excessively early to anyone else? See, now's when I gotta make the tough decision. I think I'm gonna push through the wall and just continue on the interstate. But I could be making a terrible mistake. I mean, we're going like 50. I don't know. Man, do we need those auto-driving cars, though. Isn't that going to be great? I cannot wait. Like, I seriously can't wait. I mean, it'd be so fun. It'd be so much easier, too. Like, you just get in this car, and then it just takes you to where you're going. I do think it's going to kill, like, the local train. Because, basically, the local train is, like, great, but the driverless taxi is way better, because that can just take you to exactly where you need to go. You don't have to stop. It's like, you know, what the frustration of riding the bus is like? You'll be looking at, you know, the route, right? It'll be on Google or whatever, and it says like, okay, 19 stops between here and there, and you're just like, this bus stops like every 15 feet, it seems. Like every street, every block, it stops at. So like, you're on 13th Street and it stops. Then you're on 14th and it stops, and 15th. And it's like, I don't know. I was like, they should make a system where there's like regular stops and then disabled stops or something. Because I was like, I mean, disabled people got to be able to get the bus close to their house, right? So I would hate a person, like someone in a wheelchair, to have to navigate like three extra blocks is probably kind of a big deal. Way more of a big deal than me sitting on the bus a longer time. But someone like myself, I'm like, you know, if I know that the bus is stopping at the previous street and then is going to come and stop right where I am, I feel like an asshole, because I'm like, well, if I'd have known that, I could have walked up to the previous street while I was standing here waiting for the bus. Like, you just don't know. You don't know until it's too late. Oh, boy. Now we're coming to another stop here. This is not good. There's a cosmetic surgeon with a billboard, and her name is Jennifer Devine. Doesn't that sound made up? Like, what should I call myself as my business? Jennifer Devine. Oh, isn't that just divine? I wonder if, I saw a picture of, who was it, Charo, who, you know, basically, everyone who's had plastic surgery, like, starting in the 70s or earlier, kind of starts to look like, if you ever saw Escape from LA, and they have this whole sort of tribe of people who live, and they just are constantly cutting parts off of people and gluing them onto themselves. Because they just were, like, addicted to plastic surgery and the musculature in their body couldn't hold anything very long anymore. There's some excuse like that. And they all kind of look like that. And I wonder if people getting, like, face surgery now will look like that, you know, in the future, or if it'll look better. I wonder what the innovation level is there. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the plastic surgery if you feel like you're, you know, fucked up looking. I mean, like, seriously. And on the other hand, sometimes I'm like, I mean, if you're just doing it to not look at how old you are, I don't know. I don't know if that's a great idea. I mean, it's like, okay, because you look at, like, Charo, right? And I'm not looking at her thinking, what a vivacious young woman. I'm like, well, that is a very old woman who's done a lot of shit to her face. You know? I don't know. But like, I mean, they all kind of look like Mickey Rourke to me. The people who do that, make that choice. And that's not, well, that it is what it is. But yeah, the driverless car, I don't know the people, I don't get the people who are like, I don't trust it. Because I'm like, you don't trust the driverless car, but what you do trust is just some fucking idiot. You know, there's a guy going by me right now in this idiotic lifted truck with mud flaps that are like, you know, well, I don't know if it's a 2-ton truck. It's like a 2-ton lady wearing a thong that's meant for a munchkin, you know, David the Gnome's thong. And that's what this person, that's what the mud flaps are doing on this truck. And it's just like, why are you doing this? And so that person makes that decision. Or like, you know, this person has this, someone will have a stupid bumper sticker. Like, I just was behind a car and it had a big bumper sticker on it that said Dutch Dad, which I was like, is that a sex move or is that what you are? And it's like, okay, you're Dutch and you're a dad. I mean, I guess that's unusual in the United States. But I mean, are you like actually Dutch? Are you from Dutch town? Or are you, you know, of Dutch descent? Because then it's just like, I mean, what would everyone's just like, Irish dad? And it's like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, here we go. There's a wreck, indeed. It's on the other side of the highway. So we're like across the median from it. We're all just slowing down to take a look. You know what I think they should build into cars? Is like a camera that just takes a picture as you go by a wreck. Like it can sense it and it just takes a picture. Because then it's like, okay, you can look at it later. Like just look at it when you stop and whatever. And then I think most people would be like, I'm kind of an asshole. Like, did I really need to take, you know, if you're like sitting in a hotel room later after you drove a long ways and you had a couple stops and then you're like flipping through these accident pictures and you're like, I'm kind of a dick. Like, what was I thinking? Why did I need to look at this? And you're like, yeah, see, you're being a dick. And that time you're not even slowing anyone down with being a dick. You're just being a dick. So that's a plus in my book. It's like, well, you're still being a dick. You're just not like wasting my time. Why do you got to be a dick on my time? Be a dick on your own time and look at the wreck. I'm like purposely not looking so I don't have to look. And then it's like, here's what's going to happen. I'm passing it like now. And it's basically like as soon as we passed it, as though everyone just floored it. You know what I mean? Like you're struggling to keep up with the traffic. The moment you pass the wreck, you like cannot keep up no matter how hard you try. And there's huge traffic stacked up going back. And I guess I'll just take the back roads home. Like, let's not even discuss it, Pete. Let's not even give yourself the option, because fuck this. My God. People are animals. My sister sent me this email, and she was talking about something like, you know, and basically saying, like, do you think that's still from our brains? Because, you know, we were like our monkey brains, and it's just like we like, you know, we like people who look like us or whatever. Like, we just have these things. And I was like, yeah, I mean, 100%. Isn't that like, isn't 90% of what we do probably based on that? I mean, monkey brain of just like, well, I don't know. This seems like a good idea. I feel like that. I mean, I feel like we're a lot more based in our, ancient history than we'd like to think. I wonder if that's the problem too, if it's like we don't like to think of ourselves as these creatures of you know, prehistoric habit or whatever, and we totally are. Like, you just can't break it that fast, you know. But I think that's the thing. I think that's like the whole point of like humanity, right? Is, okay, we've got all this stuff built into us and whatever, but then, you know, you got to just try and overcome it because we have like a brain that's more advanced. So we should be able to kind of think these things through a little better than like animals would. I mean, an animal might feel a way about something and it's just like the start and the end of it for that animal is that. Here's how I feel about this, you know? And for us, it's a little bit more. And it should be. Like, it should be a little bit more to it. But yeah, I guess it was funny because she said it and I was just like, I mean, yeah, don't you think that? Like, don't you think that's what everything is? You know, and I guess maybe not, but I guess I've always felt that way. Like, you know, you just, there are certain things that you'll like do a double take when you see them. And then, you know, in your mind, you're like, whatever. I guess I was just talking about why people have to look at the thing. This is, okay, this is a perfect example. You're in the car, there's an accident, and there's, I think, just an instinctual thing to look. Because you're like, there's a thing happening, it's coming up on my left side, and I want to see it. Like, I just want to see what it's about. You know what I mean? And it's unusual, right? Like, we're pattern-seeking species, and so there's a wreck, so that's not normal. There's a huge stack of cars, that's not normal, in a way. And so we really want to look. And as you're pulling up to it, though, you can have this discussion with yourself and say to yourself, self, I know you want to look, but looking is not going to be rewarding for us, and we shouldn't do it because it's wrong, and also it's not going to be worth it. Like, it's not worth it. What are you going to see? I mean, should we put it this way? At best, you see like a dead body. Is that what we're hoping for? Like, this is why it's like an evolution thing, probably, right? Because like, if you ask the person, like, what were you hoping to see, or what would you be looking for? I don't think they would have an answer, really. I don't think anyone would be able to say, oh, well, you know, da 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 da, or like, I'm looking for this, and it's like da 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 da. I think it speaks to something more primal. Like, you know, Chuck was talking about introductions to, like, the first page or so of a story. And, like, what brings us in opening lines and opening chapters and stuff. And he was talking about, like, you know, physical on the body stuff and whatever. And the analogy he made was, like, you know, when my dog sees a squirrel outside, you know, and it's instantly at attention and, like, watching everything and, you know, very up, very, you know, radar up, everything's clicking, you know, and the dog is very excited. And he's like, but that's not an intellectual thing. That's not like a thing my dog is thinking about. My dog is not thinking, okay, here's a squirrel, I am going to make the choice to watch this squirrel attend. You know, it's just there's motion and the dog zeroes in on it immediately and follows it, you know, with its eyes, or even gets up and follows it without really thinking about it. You know, it's just kind of doing it. And that's kind of what you want a story to be like, right? Like, in the opening, you want the person to be compelled to follow it. And that's one way to do it, is to make it a sort of physical thing that sort of elicits that reaction in the reader. That they're like, I want to follow this. Like, even if I don't want to follow this, I'm going to follow this for sure. And I think, whoa, someone knocked down a sign. I think that's what's going on with the wreck, is it's just like, you don't intellectually think about it. But, you know, that's being human to me, is you think about it because that's what, you know, in the ongoing quest to be better people, we're just like, you know, I'm not going to do something just because my instincts kind of force me to, or strongly encourage me to, or don't discourage it. And because there's no, looking at a wreck is something I think a good proof too of, like, when there's no consequence for doing something bad, everyone will just sort of do it unthinkingly. You know what I mean? Because there is no consequence to you as an individual of looking at that wreck. I mean, the consequence is now we all got to wait in traffic. But you've also, by the time you get through the traffic, you've paid the freight on that. Because you're like, well, I just waded through the traffic, so fuck it. Like, what do I care if anyone else waits or not? I mean, I had to do it, so should everyone else. I had to wait, so I'm taking my look. You know, I think you'll hear people say that. Not infrequently. Not as infrequently as you might like. And that's why, is because it's like, I don't know. It's like you bought something and you don't even really want it, but you pre-ordered it, and so you're like, I mean, I guess I'll go get it because fuck it. Like, I already paid for it. You already paid for your wait time, so you might as well just do it. It's a fucked up world, huh? There's a speed or a red light camera up here, according to my navigational app. I have Waze, and I'm always like wondering what, you know, I've got like mail on Waze, and I'm like, what is this? What are these messages? Like, what is the content of these messages, and why are you sending them to me? I guess I should just like look through them all sometime, just be like, hey, what's this all about, you know? But I don't care. I would love to do this thing if I cared about it a little. But in order to care about it a little, I'd have to care about it a tiny bit. And I don't care about it even a tiny bit. Family Precision Dental. That is it. I think Family Precision Dental is like a real weird name for a dentist office, because it's like you've got this sort of homey, folksy family thing, and then precision, which is like this very laboratory type term. And notice how I said laboratory as opposed to laboratory, because that's what Dexter called it, laboratory. I never understood, like, what was the big deal with Dexter's laboratory, right? He's this kid. He's got a fucking huge, crazy secret lab in his basement or whatever. Like, no one knows about it except him and then his sister, who kind of unwittingly destroys everything. I never understood what he was always so angry about, though. Because I was like, you can basically do whatever you want. Like, you could make anything you want. And, no one's going to stop you, nor does anyone even know it's happening. I don't know. That just seems like a dream. You'd be like, well, yeah, I would make a giant robot that I like a giant Iron Man suit, too. That seems like a pretty good idea. And if you couldn't have fun with an Iron Man suit for like a year, you're crazy. Like, you're an idiot. And you just don't get it. I mean, you're just a problem person. I can't respect that person who's like, if I had access to an Iron Man suit for a year, I think after a month I'd be bored. I'd be like, are you out of your mind? What are you thinking? I'll say this, though. If Tony Stark was really as smart as he says, he would have built the Iron Man suit to be like a little bit bulkier. Because that way, when he gets, like, old and fat, he can still, like, fit in it. Because he's going to have to build a whole new fucking suit if he puts on, like, 25 pounds, right? And what are the chances of him putting on, like, a gut? I mean, the guy's a fucking alcoholic. He's going to have a gut. And so it's like, hey, maybe you should future-proof this plan a little bit, sir. If you're going to be saving the world all the time, I would think you'd want to accommodate a gut. Fat Iron Man can still save the world, that's fine. Do you think if there was a Spider-Man and he aged and he was like, he had a gut, but otherwise was exactly the same, maybe even a little better superhero because he was more experienced, equally successful, equally, you know, agile and whatever, he just had this tum-tum like poking out of his costume. Do you think people would be like disappointed by that? I feel like they might. I feel like they might sort of hate that, but I don't know. I don't know. I do think that, like, you would... Wouldn't you eventually get bored, though, in real life if you were Superman powers? Because, like, what would you do? I mean, I wouldn't... Well, yes, I would. I mean, it would take a while. Because, you know, you'd, like, go to the moon, right? And just, like, oh, okay. I guess I'll go to the moon. And then be like, well, I guess I'll go to the bottom of the ocean. And I guess I'll do this. And da 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 da. But after a while, right, you'd probably be like, all right, I'm kind of bored. And I've done everything. And there's no Lex Luthor. Like, wouldn't you almost want, as Superman, a Lex Luthor trying to kill you? Because then you're like, well, I got something to do. You know, I've got a drama in my life. Whereas if you were Superman, you'd be like, I don't really have a drama. Because it's like, I don't have to work if I don't want to. I can just go fucking get a meteorite made out of platinum and sell it. You know, I could do a billion things. And relationships, it's like, I mean, that'll always be drama, but at the same time, they'll be dead. I don't know, maybe you need a Lex Luthor. Maybe you need a villain.